unending love. It's amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. It's amazing. Blessed be His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again. Just a couple of quick things. We will have a baptism, Lord willing, after the service this evening. So if you haven't made that choice yet and you'd like to join in, there's an opportunity, but we will, Lord willing, at least be baptized in one at the end of the service tonight. So look forward to that. Also, I would like to ask you to join me in prayer for my younger brother. My sister contacted us yesterday and said that she had driven him to the doctors to have a colonoscopy and an endoscopy done, and the test results came back, and he has a tumor, and then they tested it, and it is cancerous. So the next thing they're going to do is find out how aggressive it is. They're going to, I guess there's some other tests they do, a CAT scan or something, to find out how aggressive it is. But, you know, we serve a living God, and He's aggressive too. Amen. So if you would join us in prayer for that, we greatly appreciate it. Amen, amen. So we're going to read from three portions of Scripture briefly this morning, from John the 7th chapter, Philippians the 4th chapter, and Colossians the 1st chapter. John chapter 7 and the 37th and 38th verses. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. That's to proclaim with a loud voice. So he's not whispering, he's putting it out there. He wants them to catch it. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly," or out of your heart, out of the center of your being, out of your soul, "shall flow rivers," not little trickles, not little streams, "rivers of living water." How many believes that this morning? Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And again from Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ," where? "In you." Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of our glorification and our body change. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning as we bow our heads. Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth this morning, we're so thankful for Your unfailing words of promise. We're so thankful that You watch over Your word, and Lord, not one jot or tittle will pass away, but Your word will accomplish the very thing that You sent to do. Father, there are many needs in the body and many hands lifted up this morning. We pray that You would minister to each and every heart, Lord. You know the needs, and You've already, before the foundation of the world, thought about it and made plans and major provisions. And Lord, we're here to call upon it this morning in faith, believing. Father, we bring my younger brother before You in prayer this morning. We know what the doctors have said, and we thank You for doctors, and we thank You for medicine and for what they can do. But Lord, it may turn out that this is something greater than the earthly physicians can handle, and we want to just go straight to the great physician. And regardless, Lord, of the doctors, you're the only healer that there is. We know that they can do things that would allow that healing to be loosed in the body, but you're the one that brings the healing. So, Lord, we're asking you to undertake on his account, on Lawson's account this morning, Lord, and we're trusting in you. My sister bringing this before the body, may it be a testimony to her as well as to him, and may you receive honor and glory. We love you and we thank you. Now we just ask that you be with us in the remainder of the service. Bless each and every one. And we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Hallelujah. Brother Salazar, that is just uncalled for. If I'd have known you were going to be there this morning, I'd be there and you'd be here. Goodness. Nice to have you this morning with us. Amen. Sister Shannon. Hallelujah. So I'd like to title the thought here this morning. It's a familiar thought. It's something that we've heard about, but I just want to touch on it again this morning as the Lord's put it on our heart. Christ in you. Christ in you. So the common approach of organized religion many times has been to call upon God to move on the believer's behalf, but to call on him as if he's somewhere out there in some faraway place, you know, beyond the solar system or, you know, in unobtainium land. And you can hear it in the prayers that have gone forth, and you can hear it many times in the sermons that go forth, and even in the music that was written in various ages and sung in various ages. And we know that the manner in which we pray and the songs of worship that we choose to sing, it directly reflects the revelation of God that we have in our lives and the level of the personal relationship that we have with God. There are some that say, well, you know, we don't want any new songs. Well, I guess there's no new revelation then, because there's at least one more song to sing, a new song. John said, and I sang a new song. And that new song was driven by a new revelation, the fullness of redemption taking place. Amen. So, for instance, growing up as a Baptist, and I'm not saying this to grind on the Baptists this morning, but that's my background, that's my experience. Growing up as a Baptist, I could almost guarantee, they didn't believe in modern day prophets, but I could prophesy. I could prophesy that the closing song that we would sing as we were being dismissed would be the doxology, which means a song of praise. It would be the doxology, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. The sad part is it's a beautiful song and it's got a really nice tune, but it's a lie. But it's a reflection of your revelation. And our opening prayer would typically be an invitation for God to come down and to be with us in the service. And the prayer for the needs that were brought before the body would be, please, for God to send something from way out there in heaven somewhere to meet the needs of the people. Now, we do believe it's in your level of revelation. It's in your level of understanding. We do believe it does come from heaven. But where is heaven? If we were to go back in time, and if we were to sit in on a church service in the beginning church age, I imagine things would have sounded a little different in the service. We would have heard things like, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. We would have heard songs of worship and prayers going forth that would have led us to believe that Jesus Christ was present among them and was even in them. And we would most certainly know that their level of revelation was when we would hear the disciples preach. But we know that the church left their first love. They aimed at the rapture. They aimed at the body change. They aimed at the coming of the Lord. And then they began to relax. And we know that the light of the word began to fade out over time. And as the seed that came forth in the first age. It fell into the ground and eventually it began to rot. And the light of the word began to dwindle until the age of Luther, when the seed that was in the ground began to sprout, and then a stalk began to, first a little blade shot up, and you could see that poking up above the soil, and then it would turn into a stalk. And then with Wesley's message, it caused the church to continue to grow, and eventually it produced a tassel. And then Pentecost produced a shuck that would one day contain the very same seed that went into the ground that was present in the first age. And we know that in the last age, when everything that was in the church is restored back to the church, the pillar of fire returns and the children of God are brought forth to a full birth once again. Now, don't get me wrong, friends, but the life never did leave the church. Since the church was birthed by the pillar of fire on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. But the true church has been in different stages of development for almost 2,000 years now, until the evening time. And then it finally brings forth and manifests the very same life that was on display in the original church by the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So we know that there are differences in the stages of development of the church in each age, but the body of Christ in the very first age and in the last age are more alike than in any other age. The main difference in the two is that the first is made up of foundation stones and the last is made up of finishing stones. And the foundation stone is Christ. And the finishing stone is Christ. Now, we're 2,000 years distant from when Jesus Christ walked the earth in his corporal body wearing a one-piece robe, but the first church talked about him and prayed and worshiped as if he were with them at that point in time. What a concept. And that's what really made them seem fanatical to the world. Because they're talking about a guy that nobody can see. They're talking about a guy that's supposedly dead, but he's risen. And he said that he would be with them even in them. He said he would be among them. And so they looked fanatical. They were not talking about, now listen closely, they were not talking about the Jesus Christ that walked the earth 30 years prior, except to speak about what was done and in that body, and the importance of those events and the importance of that work. But when you read the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit, even in the epistles as well, you'll notice that the focus was on his presence. The resurrected Jesus Christ with them, continuing the work that he started after becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And here we are 2,000 years distant from that time, the time when he took on human flesh, and the nominal church talks about him as if he's far, far away. And he's as far away in distance as his birth on the earth is from us in time. So I guess you got to travel at light speed to catch him. And they talk about him as if he were an idea. They talk about him as if he were a historical being and not the ever-present water from the rock. I'm going to preach here in just a moment, but I got to lay a foundation here. The body of Christ in this last age, friends, they talk about him again in present tense. They aren't talking about nail scars, but they're talking about the very same one. They're talking about the very same one that lived in that body, now living in a many-member body, just as he said that he would. And not only is he spoken of in the present tense, but he is fully present in his body. He said, I'll be with you even in you. Well, he's having preeminence in a many-membered body in this hour. He's not living in some far, far away place. He's here and he's here now. So the mystery that was revealed in the first age that gradually faded over time It's a full revelation once again. It's being revealed again in the evening time in this last church age. Colossians 1:26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. But now is made manifest unto his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ far away, Christ in you. Somebody say, in me. Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if you are born again of the Spirit by the Word in this last age, Christ is in your soul now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He is in that. He's come behind the veil. Satan is sealed out. The world is sealed out. You're a new creature. And it's you and him. There's no artificial light. The seven golden candlesticks is in the second realm, but in the third realm, there's another light. It's an eternal light. It's the Shekinah of his presence. And he is supping with you and you with him. So Christ is dwelling fully in his tabernacle once again in you and in others like you. And in that third realm of your being, as we were looking at this last week, in that third realm of your being, which is his dwelling place, there is living water. And there's everything that you have need of for this journey. We don't need to inject anything in there. Everything you have need of is in there. You came prepared for the journey, and he has quickened you. So when Jesus prayed to the Father, he prayed at times so that his disciples would actually hear him pray. And then he let us know that he did it for their sake. But he was praying to the one that was within him. He wasn't praying saying, "Oh, Father, who art in the galaxy of Andromeda or even beyond that." He was speaking to the one that was in him. And the body of Christ on the earth today, friends, has that same revelation and is also speaking to and is communing with the Christ that is in them. Hallelujah. Everything that we have need of for this journey is now in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we need to know that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We need to know this morning that healing is in us. We need to draw from that healing in our time of need. We need to speak it out. It needs to flow from the soul into the spirit realm and the flesh realm. As we were looking at these three realms here a week ago or so, recall that your spirit is the only part of your being that has contact with your soul and with your body. And if anything's going to get to your soul, it's got to pass through your mind, through your spirit. And if your spirit is in opposition, well, then something has, you know, we need to cast down whatever's in there. Cast down reasoning, imagination, conscience, anything that exalts itself above the Word of God. To allow, we got to open up that channel to allow what he's placed in there to flow out to the rest of your being. And that's how we overcome in this hour. So it needs to flow from the soul to the spirit and to the flesh. And we need to know this morning, friends, that joy and peace is in the soul. And in our times of trouble, we need to know that it's in us. And then we need to draw from what is in us. We don't need him to come and put something in us. It's already there. The joy of your salvation is still there. But you need to draw on it. And we need to know that the rapture and the body change is in us. And that we will draw on it when we need to at his command. It'll be his faith that puts it into operation. Jesus said, "I am," not "I will be" or "I was." "I am the resurrection. I am the life." So if Christ is in you this morning, friends, then the resurrection is in you this morning. Every characteristic of what he is in you in a measure, not in the fullness, in a down payment, but it's in you. If he's a healer, healing's in you. If he's a deliverer, deliverance is in you. If he's a savior, salvation is in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But you must drink from him. The living waters that's in you, you must drink. And then you must push out what it is that you have need of. Drink and then push out. Drink and then push out. And the church says,
amen.
The power over death is in you this morning. But we will not draw from it until the appointed time. But it's already in you. Hallelujah. When the true church friends gets the revelation of this, she will be invincible. And she will march on to her body change. And nothing will stop her. So we need our thinking this morning to be aligned with his present day unfolding of his word, which we call the message of the hour, but it's his present unfolding. And we need to realize that the rapture is in us right now. Hallelujah. We need to overcome the spiritual kingdom of this world by what is in us. Hallelujah. We thirsted for the living God. And we believed on him. And we're seeing his present unfolding. He's amongst us. He's with us. He's communing with you, lip to ear. He's come to sup with you and you with him. Hallelujah. He's teaching you whatever you're hearing. And as a result, friends, he came into the hearts of the believer by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now out of our bellies flow rivers, plural, of living water. That means there's not just a little trickle just enough for you, but there's some that you can, that others can drink as well. Hallelujah. So everything that you and I will ever have need of is in us. Once we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in our soul, that begins to put it into action. The seed that's in us is quickened by the Holy Spirit. How many knows that? And the power and the anointing is in us by his indwelling presence. So it's not you that doeth it, but it's Christ in you. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So what remains for us, friends, is to feed on the word so that he can reveal his word to us in due season. That puts faith in the heart, and then faith activates and draws and drinks from that water and then pushes out whatever it is that we have need of. We need to drink from that living water and then push out the things that we have need of. You say, you already said that. I'm going to say it again and again and again and again until we do it. So the hearing of the word gives us the faith that we have need of, and it tells us what his will is for our lives. It tells us what belongs to us. His will is his word. And the living water in us gives us the water that's necessary for that word to grow, for that word to push out, and for that word to bear fruit. But we have to drink of that water in order for it to do us any good. What good is water if you aren't going to drink it? And drinking of that water, it means that we're drawing what we have need of from him. It's always him. It's all about him. You can't talk about him too much. He's the center of your being. He's your breath. He's your life. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your provider. He's your leader. He's your comforter. He's the source of that living water. And he is that living water. And it is still and will always be about him. So we're not saying something about ourselves. We're saying it about him. But he's now in us. And we draw from him from within, not from without. Well, I hope after I read a few quotes, I can get a few more amens. In the meantime, I'll pump on you a little bit. Give you a little bit of a hand. So those that have not come to a full birth in this hour, they will continue to look externally from themselves for what they have need of. They will look for it from other people. And people will disappoint them and they will get disappointed. They will look for it in the church and churches will disappoint you. And they will look for it in doctrines and doctrines will disappoint you. And they'll look for it in the world perhaps and the world will disappoint you. They will look for what they have need of for the rapture and they'll put it off into the future. Oh, it's a tape that's missing that hasn't been discovered yet. And, you know, we need to hear that. Or it's a ministry that we haven't heard yet. Or it's this brother or it's that brother. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection. I am the life. I am the way. I am the truth. No man can come to the Father but by Him. And that the Father first draws you. So they will put overcoming off into the future. They will put the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit off into the future because they're waiting for something. Meanwhile, they'll hop from church to church and from camp to camp, thirsting for what's already been given to the church. Disappointed and missing out on what the guy next to you is feeding on. Hallelujah. But the living waters are hidden from their eyes. And those that have that living water, they think, those that don't have that living water will look at those that have the living water and they will think they're nothing but a bunch of fanatics. They'll think that they're nothing but, they'll accuse them of somehow leaving Jesus. They'll accuse them of being overconfident elitists. But they don't realize where your confidence is. Your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is in Christ that's in you, the hope of glory. Well, I'm going to preach anyway. Hallelujah. It's not possible for them to understand what's taking place behind the veil in the heart of a true believer. Until they have that same Christ dwelling in them also, you're just talking about something. The Holy Ghost baptizes into us the rivers of whatever we have need of. If you need healing and you're sealed by the Holy Ghost this morning, your healing's already in you. Now, you might need somebody to pray with you to help raise your faith to the level where that healing is that's in you is put into action. You might need the preaching of the word to go forth. You might need demons cast out so that your spirit channel is aligned with your soul so that the waters then can flow freely. But your healing's already in you. And something's got to cause it to flow. And every time you get healed, friends, you experience a temporary body change. You have the down payment on a completely healed body. And it's in you as your down payment. And it's evidence that there's a body change coming for you. Hallelujah. Because that's already in you. It's not out on Pluto somewhere or somewhere out in some deep jungle. It's in you. If I'm sick and I need healing this morning, friends, I need something in me to release that living water that's now in me for healing. I don't need healing to come from somewhere else. But I need what's already in me to be released. Listen, if Christ is in you, everything you have need of is in you. When we say receive it to a believer in Christ, what we are saying to the spirit and to the flesh realm is receive what's already in you that's behind the veil. Let your spirit get out of the way. Open the door and let it flow. The rapture is the same way, friends. Rapturing faith is in you now by the present tense Christ that you're feeding on. And the church says, if you go before the rapture, the resurrection is already in you so that you will come forth with all the others when they come forth. Living waters are in the soul. But sometimes we might need to have the pump primed a little bit so that the waters begin to flow freely. And sometimes, friends, sometimes you've got just a little bit of water left. But in the old time pumps, a lot of times there's a seal that goes around that shaft that seals so that water doesn't escape around the shaft and so that their pressure can be built up. And a lot of times that seal, particularly in days past, was made out of leather. And if you didn't use the pump for a long period of time, that leather would dry up. And so then you take that handle and you start pulling on that handle and it goes, makes all kinds of racket. You know, kind of like us when we haven't been to church for a while, when we haven't been praying, we haven't been reading the word. We start turning into the tin man. We need a little squirt here so that we can say, amen, praise the Lord. Then we need a little squirt in the shoulder so we can lift our hand and hallelujah. Little squirt here, a little squirt there. We need the pump primed. But we need to be willing. You say, well, I barely got enough strength to lift my head. Well, take that little bit that you got and put it into that pump handle and prime that pump and let that water soften that leather and let it cause it to seal. And then go to working on it, and that water will start to flow. Sometimes you got just enough strength to make it to church. Thank God you made it. Thank God you came. I hear people say, well, I had a toothache, and so that's why I'm not in church today. Well, doesn't your tooth hurt at home? What difference does it make if it hurts at home or hurts here? And you got more of a chance of it quitting hurting if you're here than you do at home. And at least you're hearing the word of life. Well, I can't eat because I went to the dentist. I can't eat. You can still eat spiritual food. God's given you spiritual teeth to chew. And he's prepared the meal. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. Hallelujah. There are times when the waters of life that are in others need to flow from them to help us prime the pump. And worship leaders, they might have to labor to get those waters flowing. They might have to pump and pump. And people will sit there, well, you're just trying to pump me up. Yeah, quit resisting. Well, I hate it when they, well, then quit resisting. If you'd start pumping, I wouldn't have to. Amen. If your well doesn't then start producing when the song leader's trying to pump you up, well, then when the music stops, so does the water stops flowing. Even though the song leader could be in the spirit and the song leader could be having a one man service. But if you're not, if those waters are not flowing in your pump, if you're looking for somebody else to pump you, now maybe we need a kickstart. But at some point, you got to put it into action. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the preacher labors to bring forth the bread of life. And in between bites, as you're feasting on it, you might need to take a drink of water now and then. In other words, you might need to give forth a heartfelt amen. That's something that's bubbling up from you. And if you aren't drinking when the word is going forth, well, that word will seem dry. And it might even choke you now and then. You hear Brother Branham say over and over again, now this is going to choke you, or I might choke you. But then he says, don't spit it out. He said, it's like eating cherry pie. You come across something that seems a little hard, don't throw it away. Just set it aside, keep on eating cherry pie, or berry pie, whatever it is. There are people who just, they'll kick you out of the message if you say the wrong kind of pie. I had one brother, every time I saw him, he had to give me a, he drove a Ford and I'm driving a Chevy and he had to give me a Ford quote, you know. Like I'm going to miss the rapture because I'm driving the wrong kind of vehicle. Come on, friends. If you aren't drinking when the word is going forth, the word will seem dry. It'll choke you. So you've got to put forth an amen now and then. Well, I don't feel like saying, I didn't ask you if you felt like it. What does amen mean? So be it. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, then you're not obeying the Lord's word. He said, for you to say, be it unto me according to thy word. Let what is in heaven be on earth. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's you. That's your part. And it takes a little effort sometimes. Oh, well, they're just in the flesh. Well, I'll admit I'm in the flesh this morning, okay? Can we get past that? I dragged my, at 6 o'clock, no, at 5:55 I woke up this morning. At 6 o'clock, when the alarm went off, I got this flesh out of bed. I went and brushed the teeth on this flesh. I went and washed the eyes on this flesh. And then I took this flesh into the office. And this flesh said, let's go to the land of Nod. Let's go seek the Lord in a dream. But something in me said, no, I'm gonna expend some effort here. Amen. I'm gonna drink. And then I opened his word and began looking at things. And as I did, the stimulation of the revelation struck me. And the waters were flowing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Drink, oh drink, my people. For this is latter rain. Don't wait for it. It's in you. There's not another revival coming. You're in the revival. In fact, you are the revival. So if you came from Espanola this morning, you brought the revival with you. Our brother brought a heartfelt revelation song this morning. He brought the revival with him. He didn't come here and say, pump me up. He said, I'll come and pump you up maybe. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We believe in the buddy system. Sometimes we got to give one another. We got to pump a little bit for one another. But we're all looking for the same result, aren't we? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So the rapture and all that we have need of is in us now by the person of the Holy Ghost. And so our walk is one of continual building and releasing. Building and releasing. Drinking and pushing. Drinking and pushing. I guess I got that backwards. Drinking and pushing. And one day, you're going to push yourself out of this body. By the power that's in you. Just as a baby does when that baby is in the womb of the mother. While it's in the womb of the mother, it draws, it drinks. And then it pushes out, it grows, it drinks, it grows. And then one day, it pushes out into a new dimension. It's not just some kind of a dormant cell that's laying there in the womb, but it's drinking and pushing. Drinking and pushing. Drinking and pushing. Hallelujah. If it isn't moving, Mama's a little concerned. Mama wants to know that that baby's alive. That baby's kicking. Mama will say, look, honey, put your hand right here. Did you see that? Look right there on my stomach. That's the foot kicking out. Hallelujah. He's alive. One day those living waters came across the path of a mother by the name of Elizabeth. And her cousin Mary told her about what was taking place in her womb. That the living waters were inside her. And something inside of the womb of Elizabeth said, amen. Hallelujah. It hadn't moved. It hadn't kicked. But now it's jumping and kicking. It's in revival. When that name was spoken to another human being. Hallelujah. If it isn't moving, Mama gets a little nervous. If it isn't moving in the church, we get a little nervous. You say, well, I'm not the emotional type. We're not looking for emotion, friends. Although emotion will come with it. You say, oh, no, I don't believe in... Okay. So everywhere you go, you're like this, right? What's he thinking? I don't know. He's not emotional. Just not the emotional type. Well, I see you get mad. Isn't that an emotion? Or is that the only emotion that you have? You need to tap into the other emotions. We don't go on emotion, but emotion comes with it. Hallelujah. Listen to this from Show Us the Father. Brother Brown says, and look, The only thing that God does is plant you in Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost, and everything that you have need of in this earth's journey. Oh, no, he didn't say this. Everything. Well, that's before 63. Everything that you have need of in this earthly journey, in this earth's journey, is in you when you receive the Holy Ghost. The seed is already in you. The seed incorruptible. The word of God. The thought that came from God. The attribute. It just needed to be quickened. And you hath he quickened. You don't come to church and then we take a hypodermic needle and inject that seed with this and that and the other. It's already in it. A farmer knows better than that. A farmer doesn't take a seed and then inject it with something. It's too late. Whatever's going to come forth is going to come forth. What a farmer does is put it in the right soil and put some water on it. And when it shoots up, it says, this is that. You wondered what I was? This is that. Everything, if you plant an apple seed in the ground, every apple that'll ever come forth is in the seed. You don't inject anything to produce those out. It's in the seed. You got to put it in the right atmosphere. You got to give it water. Plant it. Amen. And it will bring forth fruit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He says the only thing you have to do is draw and push out. I tell you, that's what's the matter with Christians tonight. You're not drawing dividends on your baptism of the Holy Ghost. Draw in and drink. And drink. And drink. Well, I drank one time. And drink. And drink. Well, I did that last week. And drink. And drink. And drink. How long? Until you push out salvation. Until you push out divine healing. Until you push out the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just drink, drink, drink. And you're planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Jesus Christ. He that's thirsty, let him drink. Him that heareth, say, come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink from the fountains of water of life freely. Amen. That's the admonition to this last age here. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. So how are they going to come? You got to say something. And what you're going to say is the same thing he's saying. In fact, he's saying it and then you're saying it. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Friends, when we get the Holy Ghost, we get the checks. And we get the check card. So that we can start drawing on the deposits that have been made in the bank of heaven on our behalf. And you say, but that's in heaven. Yeah. But heaven is here. If you're baptized into his kingdom. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body. We are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's here. It's another dimension that's moving faster than this one. But it's right here. The real you this morning is in heavenly places. As Christ is in heavenly places. He's in you. At that day, you'll know the Father's in me. I'm in you and you are in me. Brother Branham said, that day is this day. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have what you have need of in you because you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And you will hear something in your time of need that will cause a pulsation of faith to come forth. And your faith will draw on that account because your faith is now what's going to put it into action. And you will get what it is that you have need of. But where does it come from? From within. Oh, I hope you can say amen at least once this morning. When hands are laid on you, friends, for healing, what is taking place is that your faith is building and then releasing. Your faith takes the healing that's in you and puts it into action. Well, if we could quit looking for something external, we'd be much further down the road. We're not against herbs, of course. We're not against medicines. We're not against iridology or doctors or chiropractors or exotic plants and so on and so forth. But those are all things that are external to us. And none of those things has ever healed anybody. Oh, you're getting quiet. Christ is the healer. Now, they will help the body so that the healing that's already in there can do its work. It might take something out of the way. But faith is God's perfect instrument for releasing that healing. And faith comes by speaking and by hearing the word of God. And healing virtue can certainly flow from one person to another through the laying on of hands. We believe that with all of our hearts. But that healing virtue still requires faith in order to put it in action. If thou canst believe. So the healing that we have need of this morning is in us. And we can use those other things and we can try to... put that healing that's in us into action. Get something out of the way, perhaps. And we see results because either our faith was raised for those things which we had need of, and then put our healing into action, or something was physically taken out of the way so that healing within us could take control. But only God can heal. And He will heal anybody who will have faith in healing. Sinner or saint. Somebody say praise the Lord. How much more should a believer look to Him for their healing this morning? He's here this morning. How many believes that? And if you have the Holy Ghost this morning, friends, and you have a need for healing, you only need to drink from the healing that's already in you. Put it into action. Say, I believe, Lord. I take you at your word. Now, nothing at all, as I said, nothing at all against medicines, doctors, and so on and so forth. Keep your balance. We believe in those things. We thank God for them. They have their place. But the place that God wants us to get to is to recognize that divine healing dwells in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we need only to drink, to line our confession up with His word, and release what's already in us. And we do that when we say, by faith, let thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. In heaven, you're already healed. You're justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're already glorified. But we want it to take place here. Hallelujah. So when you come up for prayer and hands are laid upon you and the prayer of faith goes forth, you go back to your seat and you're healed. You actually were healed before you came forward. But you've now allowed it to be released in you. And you just received a temporary rapture in your body. Come on, church. I don't want anybody going off on a little tangent. Then you're going to miss everything else that we have to say. There's a place for doctors. There's a place for medicine. Brother Branham went to doctors. At times, his wife was on an operating table. And if God hadn't intervened, that knife would have cut to take out that tumor. But then God stepped in. So keep your balance. So where did that temporary rapture come from? Where did that healing come from? It came from within you. And when we join our faith together, something happens. We are adding our faith together to get whatever is in the way out of the way of your healing. Amen. Amen. Now, I felt it many times, friends, when it took place and I knew something happened. Sometimes there's fear there, or sometimes there's doubt in the spirit and it's clogging the channel. Sometimes it's a complex that we have. Well, I know He'll do it for this one and that one, and I believe that. But what about me? Or a memory or unconfessed sin that's in the way. That spirit has a right to just lay right there. Amen. Sometimes that faith needs a boost from more faith. Hallelujah. One will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. Sometimes just the act of asking for prayer causes us to drink. And then healing pushes out and flows from us. Because we put something into action just by the act of asking and bringing it, making it known. Sometimes there's a broken record that's playing in our mind. Isn't that annoying? Song playing over and over and over and over. You're no good. You did this. You did that. You'll never amount to anything. You got prayed for before and it never happened. You this, you that, you the other. That's a broken record. Some of you are experiencing some of them broken records right now. Some of you have come up for prayer and we prayed, we've agreed with you, and then you come back saying, but it didn't happen, and I'm so burdened, and it didn't happen. I'm not saying this to get on you. I'm saying this to help you. I don't know what else to do. You're not supposed to. You did what you were supposed to do. You need to believe that what you did is going to work, because there's nothing that you can do. You're releasing Christ in you to go on the scene. And then you won't get puffed up afterwards, because you'll say, oh, Jesus did this. Jesus did that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, God did not give us a savings account, friends. It's a checking account. And a checking account is something that you spend from. Some of you don't believe that. It's not a savings account. It's not to see how much we can put away. If you have a savings account, now I'm not, of course there's a balance to everything. I'm not saying you shouldn't put a little something away for a rainy day, whatever, as the Lord puts on your heart. But you're not just putting everything into savings because that's where your confidence will be. Well, when this goes wrong and that, I got all this in savings. You need to start spending some of that. If we aren't careful, we can get so focused on obtaining something that we will never use it for its intended purpose. Newsflash, money is to be spent. And that's what a tree does when it's planted by waters. It draws in. And guess what? The heat comes out. And you know what happens in the middle of the day? That water evaporates. It comes up the stalk. It comes up through the roots and through the trunk. And it goes up into the branches. And it comes out into the leaves. And guess what? It keeps it cool. And if there's an animal that's nearby, it's not just shade that the tree's offering. But you can actually feel a temperature drop because there's water that's evaporating. So that tree drank, and now it's spending it. Yeah, but we live in the desert. When you have a need, friends, you need to drink on your dividends. Amen. You need to draw. You need to drink. You need to draw. You need to drink. You need to draw. You need to drink. And then push out what you have need of. And what a tree does when it's planted by waters is draw and then push. Draw and then push. And we're living in an age, friends, where science is tapping now into the rewiring of genes and is looking at what we take into our bodies and so forth. And billions upon billions are being spent to find the cure for this or the cure for that. And that's all good. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, I believe that if man would just get together and pray, they'd find a cure for cancer. God would give them that cure. Right? So we're not, nothing wrong with that. But I want you to know this morning that the cure has already been found for whatever ails you. There was something that's, I don't know about that. Well, forget about the snake oil, okay? And forget about the snake oil salesman. Oh, we'll drink this elixir and, you know, you'll drink it and try not to throw up, but it don't matter what you have. It'll cure this, it'll cure that, it'll cure this. And guess what? A lot of people had those testimonies. Why? Because they believed it. It wasn't the elixir that cured them. It was their faith in it that allowed their healing to come forth. So if you need healing this morning, friends, you don't need to see if your insurance is going to cover it or not, or if your premiums are paid up, or if you have enough in your health savings account, or your bank account, or your cookie jar, or your mattress, or whatever it might be. You need to recognize this morning that your blessed assurance has been purchased. And your policy is a lifetime policy. And it's paid in full. Drink, go drink, my people. We have a cure this morning. A cure for what? Everything. Anything. Come on, friends. Is there anything too hard for God? Let him prove himself. He's waiting. Patiently. Waiting for somebody to just take him at his word. You know, the greatest compliment that you can pay God this morning is to say, God, I believe you. I take you at your word. I don't understand. I can't figure it out, but I believe you. You said it, and all hell's breaking loose around me, God, but I believe you. I need a job, and there's no jobs open, but I believe you could start a company just for me. I trust you, God. I put you first. You said, put me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Oh, well, I've got to move because I got a job here or a job there. That's the wrong decision. Don't get mad now. This is Bible teaching. That's the wrong approach. Something's wrong in your life. The right approach is, where should I be that I'm getting fed on? Amen. And my job will be there. Amen. Right, Brother David? Sometimes we need a little nudge, but at least we come. Listen, friends, in 1993, we were praying for a place where there was a church where we could get plugged in and raise our children and that was our focus. We were driving 2.5 hours one way to church on Sundays and driving through Sodom to get there. And my prayer was, I want to out of California in general and out of the Bay Area in particular. And Lord, wherever you want me to be, that's where I want to be. So I was applying for jobs and I was also looking at fellowships, churches. And I got a job interview in Chicago, the Chicago area, in a nice suburb of Chicago called Rolling Meadows. And it was with a company called Northrop Grumman, and it was with their electronic countermeasures. And without getting into too much detail, the work that I was doing in the Bay Area, there was just a few handfuls of people in the whole country that was doing that kind of work. It was new, leading-edge technology, and so... The odds of me finding a job that's just like the one that I had, which was a good job. I had a good job. People said it was insanity to leave it. The odds of me finding a job where I could just continue right on were pretty slim. But I went and I interviewed there, and it was the same kind of work. They offered me a 20% raise, I think it was. Which, that was a lot of money. You know, I'm raising kids and I'm 33 years old and I got 3 kids. And so, boy, talk about, well, yeah, I got a job offer, right? So then I started looking for churches. You know how many message churches there are in Chicago? Can anybody say zero? Oh, no, I know some people that listen to tapes. I didn't ask you how many people listen to tapes. I asked you how many message churches. Oh, but it's the same thing. Well, the guy on the tape said, go to church. He didn't say push play and obey. He said, obey Paul and go to church. And you don't push the pastor and tell him what to preach. Amen? He'll push you back. No, you obey and go to church. Amen. There were 300 ministers that set a trap for our messenger. And God showed him that trap ahead of time. And when he got up to address these 300 preachers, he told them ahead of time what they had said before and what they planned on doing. And then he said, you guys are saying that I'm preaching false doctrine. Okay, come over here and stand by my right side. You know where this angel's standing? Where this anointing is at? Where the pillar of fire is quite often right there. Come stand by my right side. Bring your Bible up here. Just show me where I'm wrong. Right? He said the quietest bunch you ever saw. Right? He said they had more intelligence than I gave them credit for. Right? And they came up afterwards and they said, you know what? We see it. You just showed us water baptism and one God and water baptism in Jesus' name. We want to get rebaptized. You know how many got rebaptized? Can anybody say zero? From that point on, Ichabod was written. God will not always strive with spirits. Will not always strive with man. Amen. You come when the appointed time. Listen, if you're getting mad this morning because this actually describes something you're going through, did you come to church not wanting to hear about something you're going through? And not hear about something that would help you? The whole point is to help you. Now we can make wrong decisions and God will straighten it out down the road, but wouldn't it be better to make the right decision? Hallelujah. Yeah, it is good preaching. Amen. I got another job interview at Allied Signal Aerospace over here. And I came and interviewed for the job. And the job, frankly, don't take this the wrong way, but because of my skills, my background, my training, the job was beneath me. It was kind of a dead-end job. And it was the most negative workforce that I ever worked with. Everybody, my brother was so negative that we used to carpool. And I warned him. I was ready to, you know, I would pick him up on sunrise. And we'd only ride together for 10 minutes. But by the time we got to work, I was ready to pour gasoline over myself and light the match, throw the rope over the rafters and have a swinging party. Because there's no point in going in this morning. Everything's bad. Everything's negative. I tried and tried and tried to pull him up. But friends, if somebody's laying on the ground and they want to get up and they want your help, you can reach down and pull and you can pull them up off the ground. But what if they don't want to get up? You're going to end up on the ground. So I warned him. I warned him and warned him and warned him. He's my older brother. Looked up to him and everything. But I told him, you know what? If I hated my job as much as you did, I'd get a different job. Oh, no, I can't. This, that, the other. And this, that, and the other. Hold on. You can lie to yourself, but you're not lying to me. You can, but you're choosing not to. And here's the reason why. So you're making a choice. Now put on your big boy pants and suck it up. You're not a victim. But I worked with a whole bunch of victims there. Brother Eli was working there. He wasn't a victim. But there's sure a whole lot of other ones. Oh, it was the most. But I kept the atmosphere around me. I was grateful. I was thankful. After all, I worked in the restaurant business for a number of years. So I wasn't coming home smelling like a burger or fries. I wasn't working with people that were recovering from a hangover. Listening to dirty jokes. I was getting paid quite a bit more. So I figured the worst day that I had there, okay, it isn't paradise. We're in Satan's Eden, after all, right? But I figured the worst day that I had there was better than the best day I had in the restaurant business. You know, a guy that's, here I am in my 20s, and here's a guy in his 70s, and he's making 50 cents an hour more than me. Oh, that's what I get to look forward to. You know, if you work here 50 more years, you'll get 50 cents an hour. Right? So I got offered a job that was beneath me, but a church, a place to raise my kids. And that was the decision that I made. The decision was made based on the church. And everybody that I knew said, well, you're stupid. You know, that's really crazy. And you're committing suicide, career suicide. Put God first. It wasn't long before they created a brand new center. They had no research and development center. They created one. And I believe they did it just for me. They created a posting that was tailor-made to me. And when I didn't apply for it, they're coming by and circling around. Well, did you see that posting? And I was so dense that I didn't know they were talking about me. So somebody else finally had to fill it. Somebody else took it. And then that guy came over to me and said, you know, I want to thank you so much for not applying for that job so that I could get it. And I'm thinking, so you even knew that I was supposed to apply for that. So then they posted it again. And this time they made it a little bit more obvious. The center manager came over and talked to me, right? So I filled it out. And before long, my career's back on track. And the next thing I know, I get a call from Hughes Aircraft, and I end up working there. And the people that used to be my customer when I was working in the Bay Area, they now work for me. You can't outgive God. Put Him first, and all these things will be added. That grass is greener thing will get you, because it's totally carnal. The grass that you're supposed to eat is where you're at. You will get fed naturally, spiritually, in every way. Now, if it isn't the right church, well, then by all means, find the right church. But don't say, well, I found a job and now I'm not sure about the church. Well, you got it backwards. Well, I won't charge for that one. That's free. Amen, brother. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Nobody is going to meet God on the other side and say, God, you owe me. And you know what? He doesn't. You know what's God dishonoring? Is for us to say, well, I made this sacrifice for Him and that, and I've been begging for bread, and, you know, wearing, I only shop at Goodwill. Nothing wrong with that. Some of you can afford to shop at Saks Fifth Avenue, and you shop at Salvation Army. That, nothing wrong with that, right? But this isn't a contest to see how humble we can be, right? Come on. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? No, that's your cross, dummy. He wants to bless you. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. That's either true or it isn't. And if you ever do that and take Him at His word, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. So we will not face Him on the other side and say, you owe me. God will not be in debt to anyone. Take Him at His word this morning, friends. Well, since I turned off half of you now, you might know somebody that needs to hear this. Again, the position of a believer in Christ. And a man, when he comes to Christ, it isn't first to go get your oranges. In other words, when you come to Christ, don't look for the fruit right away. You get the tree. And the tree is planted in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life. And in everything that a believer has to do after he's placed in Christ Jesus, everything that he has need of in this earthly journey is given to him when he's placed in Christ. And all he has to do is drink and drink and push out and drink till every fruit of the Spirit, every gift of the Spirit, everything that's in Christ Jesus belongs to you and will be in you for the entire journey. Okay, I heard a couple more amens. Can I get a few more? Not supposed to get the tree, go get the tree and dig it up somewhere. Get the smallest tree. That's a young babe in Christ. And set it. In other words, don't get some, you're not all grown up. You start out as a babe. Get the smallest tree that's a young babe in Christ. Set it by the fountain of water, the inexhaustible life of Christ. Then you're positionally placed in Christ. And when you're in Christ by the Holy Spirit, then all these qualities of the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. And the trials of life will begin to bring them out. So the potential for every revelation that you will ever get is already in you when you get the Holy Ghost. And it might take years sometimes to come forth. But as you drink and push out, the season will come when that revelation is released to you. Amen. And you will think, wow, I always somehow knew that. Well, because it's in you. And you'll know that it's true. And somebody will say, how do you know that it's true? I just know it. Yeah. Rapturing grace is in you this morning, friends. Get that fear out of you. Healing is in you. Christ is in you. The rapture is in you. Living water is in you. I tell you what, this may not seem deep to some, but it's what we have need of this morning. Because sickness will continue to come our way until the body change. The enemy has a right to place these things on us. But you have the cure for every disease already in you. You don't need to go to the jungles of the Amazons or someplace in Australia to get some Akasi or whatever it is. Why is it that you can't even pronounce these things? Well, it's kind of like some of these coffees that you get at Starbucks. That nobody can pronounce them, but you sound sophisticated. To me, you sound stupid because you just paid $8 for it. Oh, but this, it's mountain grown. No, that's Folgers. It's the same stuff at Starbucks, but it got a different label. Starbucks burns it first to get a little different flavor. Oh, I was dying and they found this shark fin in New Zealand. And when we first moved here, that's what we were hearing. No, nothing wrong with, if that's where your confidence is. But a lot of times you're just trying something. Okay, I just lost another third of you. Yeah, that'll cure prostate cancer. Well, then why are you dying? Come on, friends. Like I said, nothing wrong with those things in their right place, their right position. But it's your attitude that needs to be in the right place. And Christ is the healer. Oh, but there's this new herb that... What is it now? It's beet juice. I guess that's not a new herb, but it's beet juice. You know, drink beet juice and you won't have a heart attack. And, drink this, eat that. You know, some exotic fruit in the, that somebody found at 16,000 feet in Peru, right next to the guy that died there. And somebody brought it back. That's why it's $1,000 an ounce. Yeah. The cure is already here. Well, what about the cure is already here? Well, what about the cure is already here? Well, what about the cure is already here? The same faith for a toothache will change your body. Do we have faith for a toothache? Rapturing grace is in you. Healing is in you. Christ is in you. The rapture is in you. Living water is in you. Hallelujah. So we need to get to the place, friends, where we are drinking and pushing out. Drinking and pushing out. On such a routine basis, that it's almost without thought. There's a quote for that too. You know, some people will take an aspirin without thought. And nothing against that once again. And they'll get results. They have faith in it. And they do it without thought. Just like when you... Are you thinking when you flip on the light switch? Are you thinking, well, I wonder if there's electricity in the wires, and I wonder if Edison was right. I wonder if the laws of electricity are true today. I know they were true yesterday, but I wonder if the church paid the electric bill. You're not thinking none of that. You're thinking, I need light, so you flip the switch. And none of you go, wow. It came on. Well, what'd you expect? You did it without thought. You actually operated faith. You said, no, I didn't. Well, how do you know it was going to come on? Well, because it came on yesterday. That's no guarantee it's going to come on today. But you believe it. Why do you get up in the morning? Because you believe the sun's going to come up. Right? Well, how do you know it's going to come up? Brother Baker, that's just stupid. Quit. Come on. That's a dumb question to ask. How do you know? You don't know. Oh, well, it came up yesterday and the day before, and it's been coming up every day. So, if you take a quarter and flip it in the air, and it lands on heads, and then you take it and flip it in the air again, what are the odds that it's going to be heads again? 50-50, right? Okay, let's say you do it 10 times. And it's heads 10 times in a row. What about the 11th time? What's it going to be? 50-50. Oh no, because it did it 10 times and it was all heads, the 11th time, no, it's the same odds every time. But some people, gamblers, will believe. They'll be deluded and they think, oh, I'm on a run here. Yeah, run of the bank. You'll be on the run if you keep this up. So some people will take aspirin without a thought, and that's a good thing. They have faith in it. They do it without thought. But what about taking your healing by faith and without thought? Well, I asked the church to pray. That's it. You know, you come up for healing, and you're prayed for, and maybe you're expecting this or that or the other. What should I do now? Well, go believe. Because you are healed. Make that your confession. Friends, in the last 2 years, there's been at least 5 sisters that have had tumors that have come up for prayer. And in every case, God moved on the scene. And in some cases, they couldn't find a tumor afterwards. Amen? What did they do? Believed. He's the healer. Again, from blind Bartimaeus. I'm sorry, I need to kick it in high gear here. And that's the way a Christian is. When you're planted in Christ, the only thing that you have to do is what? Listen to a tape. No. When you're planted in Christ, the only thing you have to do is to go to drinking. It gets its vitamin out of the water, and the Christian gets his vitamin from the Word. Then you drink more, and spread out, and push out salvation, push out through the Holy Spirit, push out till the crippled arm comes straight. Just keep drinking, drink. Planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life. Jesus Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life. Drink till you can't drink no more. Drink until you become drunken. That you forget all your theology. And believe God. And drink till you are well. And then just keep on drinking. Amen. God lives. When you drink and push, something takes place, friends. You may not see it. You may not feel it. You may not hear it. Something's taking place. Hallelujah. Drink until you're drunk. We got too many, what do they call them? Teetotalers? I can't even pronounce it. Guess I'm not one. People that want to just take a little sip, right? I don't want to do anything in excess. You need to drink until you're drunk. Well, I might get drunk. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Well, I might lose my mind. We're waiting for it, sister. We're praying for it, brother. Because we're tired of hearing about what you think. It's time to hear about what he thinks. We want you to get so drunk that it sounds like he's talking through you. Because you got his mind now. And you're saying the same thing he's saying. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just keep drinking. Drink planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life. Jesus Christ is the inexhaustible fountain of life. Drink till you can't drink no more. Drink until you become drunken. And that you forget all your theology and believe God. And drink till you're well. And then just keep on drinking. When do I stop at the body change? Keep on drinking. I don't want to drown. Keep on drinking. Keep on drinking. Keep on drinking. Well, I'm discouraged. You're not drinking. Keep on drinking. We get discouraged, but drink. We face opposition, but drink. We get sick, but drink. Brother Baker, I get mad when you preach that way. Yeah, because I'm trying to cast that spirit out of you that's in your spirit channel that's trying to cause you to doubt. It's not special for me to be positive. It's special for a Christian to be positive. Christians are positive. The Holy Ghost is always positive. Never negative. Oh, but my background and this and that. You need to quit making that your confession. You need to drink. You need to drink. You need to get drunk. It'll look different. When a person gets drunk, you know, provided they don't go so far off the deep end that they turn into the angry drunk, but usually they're happy. They get happy, right? And they loosen up. They lose their inhibitions. They start telling you things that they wouldn't tell you otherwise. Right? The difference between drinking this and drinking natural wine is the next day you don't feel bad about it. The next day you can remember exactly what you said. The next day you're not sorry that you did it. You're not embarrassed. And you're speaking the truth. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, isn't he good, friends? Drink until you become drunken, that you forget all your theology and believe God. Drink till you're well, and then just keep on drinking. Amen. God lives. So when you drink and push, something's taking place. You might not see results right away. Brother Branham talks about you speak to the mountain and believe, right? You look at the mountain and it looks like it's still there. He said, maybe a teaspoonful of soil moved, but something happened because you believed. Now just keep on believing. Keep on drinking. Keep on believing. Keep on drinking. Keep on believing. That's what's coming to the church, friends. And hearing the word produces this. You are drinking and you are raising higher and higher, and then you push. You know, that's really, that's the problem in this age that we're living in. Everybody's drinking, but some are drinking on the cares of life. And because they're drunk on the cares of life, that they're not aware of the things that are important. They got tunnel vision. They're in a rut. Don't be drunk on the cares of this life. Amen. We should be drunk, but we need to be drunk on the right things. Don't be an expert on all the evil that's going on. You know, some people,
And it's a mindset, and I'm trying to help you this morning. But some people think that they're spiritually sensitive, and I won't deny that whether they are or they aren't, we all are spiritual beings. We all contact one another's spirit. Your spirit leaves an impression on me. Mine leaves an impression on you. Right? There's some people, when they come around, it's like there's a green cloud that's hanging over them, you know, like Pigpen from Charlie Brown. And you're like, where does the time go? Right? You're not rude to that person, but you just rather not be underneath that cloud because there's an atmosphere that's around them. Right? But you're a dynamo too. And you're creating an atmosphere that's around you. And everywhere you go, that atmosphere is there. And Brother Branham said people want to be in a Holy Ghost atmosphere. They may not agree with what you, they may not even know what you believe, but there's something about you that they want to be around you. And they want to talk to you or share things with you or fellowship. Well, you're creating that atmosphere, right? Some people can say, well, I'm just so sensitive spiritually. Well, why is it that you're only sensitive to negative spirits? Why is it that you're only sensitive to things that disturb you, that bother you? As we went through this series, we showed that the number of angels that are on our side are without number. There is no number. There is a number to the number to the principalities and powers and spirits in high places. There is a number to them. But there's an innumerable company of angels, and there are ministering spirits sent to minister to the sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit, which is greater, the devil or the Holy Spirit? If you're drinking of him, come on, friends, help me out. So I would submit to you this morning that it's possible to be on the hallelujah side more than dark corners or dark chambers or dark, what was that program in the 60s? Dark shadows, right? Why would you even want to watch a program like that? Where does it go from there? Dark shadows. You know, it came on right after the stomach turns or the world turns or something. I don't know. You can look at that and feed on it, or you can be on the hallelujah side and create that atmosphere. But only if you'll drink and push out those demons. Oh, see, that's why I don't want to come to church, because you don't want to be delivered. Well, he's picking on me. I'm trying to help you. Yeah, demons don't like it. But I don't like demons. I don't think you do either. It's not for some people to be happy. Every Holy Ghost filled son or daughter of God. Come on, friends. What does joy unspeakable mean? It means you can't even put words to it because it's so great. That doesn't sound like depression to me. Well, hallelujah. Demons, I know that you're discouraged because there's no redemption for you. You made the wrong choice before the world ever began, and you're going to hell. In fact, God created hell for you. So I get it why you're depressed. But I have no beginning. And I have no ending. And I was there in his thinking before you were created. And one day we're going to come up to that lake of fire. And I'm going to be on the kicking committee. And you're going to come to an end. But I'm going to live forever. So I recognize this morning, Satan, that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared to the joys that are ahead of us. But in case somebody didn't get the memo, There's hallelujahs on this side too. My worst day as a Holy Ghost filled believer. I didn't say churchgoer. I said as a Holy Ghost filled believer. My worst day is better than my best day before God made himself real to me. If there's no heaven, if there's no eternity, this is still the best way to live. I can still live in the hallelujah zone. I can still have a positive confession. If God doesn't do one more thing for me, I have enough to praise him throughout eternity. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the best is yet to come. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Oh, it's so dark. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. It's getting gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, friends. Message Abraham. Hurry up, Brother Baker. Okay. We are planted in Christ Jesus, the inexhaustible fountain of life, and we just drink and push and drink. Everything that we have need of when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, every healing, everything that we have need of in life's journey is given to us right then. It's all your personal property. Brother Brown said the baptism of the Holy Ghost places you in your position in Christ Jesus, places you in the land. Just drink, that's all. Look and live, that's all. Then you can easily see the resurrection, can't you? Friends, the Lamb came to take that title deed and place it in your hands. And everything that's in the book is yours now. But you need to drink. And you need to put faith. Faith in the Word, you need to put it into action. Again, Lord, show us the Father. He says, what you have to do with the tree, you have to take the tree and plant it in the ground. And then you have to water it. And as you water it, it doesn't do nothing but drink, drink, drink. It has to drink more than its portion. It has to drink more. Well, I'm full. Drink some more. It has to drink more. Brother Baker, you preach too much. Drink some more. Well, I'm done. Drink some more. I got a quote for it. I'm full. Drink some more. And more it drinks, the bigger it swells up. It just pushes out limbs. Then it pushes out leaves. Then it pushes out blossoms. Then it pushes out apples. Is that right? That's the way a Christian is. We are planted together in Christ Jesus, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We are planted in Christ, and we just drink and drink and drink and push out. And everything that we have need of for the earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God, all these other things is in every individual in here that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See, I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. For you're planted in Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost baptism. Yes, sir. Everything you have need of for this life's journey, even the rapture, is right in you then. Again, he says, don't resent that. See, as we were speaking about here a week ago or so, that's why we got to work on the outer court and the inner court. Because if that word can't make it through the outer court or the inner court, it won't make it into the holiest of holies. Right? So we need to get that channel cleared out. We need to get it cleared out so that that word can get in there, but also so that the word can then flow back out into these other two realms and have the preeminence. Right? Don't resent that. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now. I will prove it by the gospel. Those who he called, he justified. Those who he justified, he hath, past tense, glorified. Hallelujah. Then in heaven today, we are glorified in the presence of God. Listen to this, right now. You're in the vision. You're going to walk in that vision here. But you're already in the vision there. You've already been seen in the vision. There's an expected end for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Good thoughts, pleasant thoughts, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Because in his mind, it's done. But we're trying to get you to push out, drink and push out and walk towards that. Until you actually one day catch up to it and say, hey, that's me. I'm the message. I'm what the message was sent for. It's telling me who I am. This is that. This is that. Glory to God. Help us, Lord. Don't resent that. Now, that's the truth. The rapture is in us now. I'll prove it by the gospel. Those who he called, he justified. Those who he justified, he hath glorified. Hallelujah. Then in heaven today, we're glorified in the presence of God right now. Right now. What confidence will that give you? I'm just pushing out to it. You're growing into it. Pushing out to it. That's you when you get older. Here on the earth. But you're already grown up there. I'm pushing out to it. Amen. Glory. God's in his word. You believe it? All right. Gotta hurry now. Many things that we could say there, but God is in his word. Every word of God is a seed. You got it? And you just have to hold on to it. Friends, one of these days it'll break on you if it hasn't already. If you were in his thinking, you were a thought. Then a thought becomes a word. You were in the Logos. Right? And now that word is in flesh, in seed form. Now, if you were in God, there's no sin in you. In the seed incorruptible. Because if you were in him and there's sin in you, you just made God a sinner. You are the word. The word will perform what it was sent to do. And then you'll go back. You just have to hold on to it. You get it? Now, many people, they look at their symptoms. They say, oh, Brother Branham, my hand is no better. I still have this pain. And oh, they'll go through the first, second, and third pole of that pain. Describe it in every detail. Why don't you use that great analysis on the word? Here's what the word says. Listen to this. It's what mental attitude you got towards God and his promise. That's why we got to get that spirit channel lined up. Don't doubt. And don't resent. Get your mind lined up with the promise. Again, Brother Bram says, critics. There's a little baby that had epilepsy. And they had a rag wrapped around a clothespin. He was having a fit on the platform. And I asked our Heavenly Father, and I said, will all bow their heads? And yet there was some resentment. You could feel it way back. Probably almost long as this building. There's 28,000 people there. So they was almost all the way out towards the yard part of the place. Just kept resentment coming. And I looked, and it was a minister and about 8 or 10 of his people. Imagine that. 28,000 people, and there's 8 or 10 people. And it's affecting the whole service. And I said to the usher, I said, go have that minister put his head down. I don't have to. Well, yeah, you do. You want that spirit to get on you? Again, questions and answers. I'm in a hurry. I just got a couple more quotes here. Do Christians sin? Don't read ahead. Absolutely no.
Glory!
I resent that. I think I preached that at Brother Manuel's church. Brother Manuel's right behind me. Somebody else resented it. Right? Thought I was having delusions of grandeur. You know, thought I was making something of myself. Thought I was lying. Right? Because we're supposed to say we're just sinners saved by grace. Listen, I was a sinner. But then let grace save me. Move from 1 John chapter 1 to 1 John chapter 3. He that sins is of the devil. If you're born of the seed... Oh, he read that. Actually, it's in this quote. Let me just keep going. Absolutely no. There's no scripture where a Christian sins. Now, you'll do things that are wrong. You'll make mistakes. Right? But in your soul, you believe the word. And in the soul, and that's why Brother Bram said the proof of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is you'll say amen to every word. He's not talking about you as a human being going, amen, amen, amen. What he's saying is in your soul, you will completely agree with the word of God. There will not be a single doubt. Why? Because that seed that's in you came from God and believes God. It is the word. And the word will agree with the word. And then that seed that's in you, its job is to take these other two realms and make it a line up to the word too. And drag it to a body change if it has to. There's no scripture where a Christian sins. He cannot sin. I know there's resentment to that. Well, we'll just go to 1 John chapter 3 and see what the scripture says. A Christian does not sin. Do you ever see a black-white bird or a white-black bird? Did you ever see a drunk sober man? No, you never did see a sinner saint either. There's no such a thing. Now, if this gets a little touchy, you just put a lot of balm in it, you know, and it'll cure it up just a little bit now. Let me pull that up here real quick. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Can I have 30 extra seconds? Thank you. I'm taking it. All right. I just want to... No thanks. All right. Excuse me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. John... 1 John chapter 3. What version is this? That's all right. Verse 7. Boys, lads, let no one deceive and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright and conforming to the divine will, purpose, thought, action, this must be the living of the Amplified, is righteous, even as he is righteous, but he who commits sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born or begotten of God practices sin, for God's nature abides in him, permanently within him, and he cannot practice sin because he is born of God. Amen. Oh, sorry, there it is. Thank you. Miracle worker back there. Thank you. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, 10 virgins, 144,000. See, if you've got a resenting in the audience, the Holy Spirit won't even reveal. You got to have something that's working together. They were in one place and in one accord. Then there came a sound from heaven. See, but no matter how much I'd pray and lay day and night studying and praying before the Lord, walk down here, maybe the anointing on me, and walk up here and feel that resentment. It just grieves him right away. He won't reveal nothing. But when you walk down here under the anointing and you feel your audience under the anointing, that's when the Holy Spirit begins to work then. He begins to move and do great things for us. So if you've received the Holy Ghost, friends, you are carrying the rapture around in you now, just as it was in Enoch when he walked with God. We don't need to wait for a tent, and we don't need to wait for some other external something or for some event, or we don't have to understand a blood moon or harvest moon. Or I heard more names for different moons than I've ever. There's only one moon. The rapture is in your soul when you get the Holy Ghost. And at the right time, his faith will put it into action for all of us at the same time. So there were those that resented it when he said it, and that same devil resents it today. But we need to tell that devil, I'm drunk. I don't resent the word of God. Whether I understand it or not, I have no resentment. Friends, I hope this comes out the right way. I don't care what I have to believe. I just want it to be the truth. I don't care. Thank God that we have the truth. If he hadn't given us the truth, we wouldn't know what right and wrong was. Hallelujah. So we've heard terms that are unique to our message, like rapturing grace and rapturing faith. Listen to this from the Absolute, and I'm going to bring this to a conclusion here in a minute. He says, oh, I remember when he swept down there in that big light, staying yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world. So it's this message to forerun the second coming of Christ. Around the world she's went. When revival fires has been built for 15 years on nearly every mountain. Divine healing across the nations. And power and restoration. It's over vindicated as far as I'm concerned. And now I believe she's ready to strike that final climax yonder. To bring forth a faith that'll rapture the church into glory. It's the truth. And she's laying in the messages. And she's laying in the messages. Now, you can take this one of two ways. I'll tell you how I take it. You can take it that faith for a rapture is laying in the message. Or you can take it that the she is you. And you're laying in the messages. I'll take it that way. Because now the message is laying in you. You lay in the message until the message lays in you. And then you become what God declared for this age. So this is not the same as being anointed of the Spirit. Many will be anointed. Many will shout at the preaching of the word. Many will shout to when the rain falls. But they don't have the rapture in them. This is something that's in your soul. Amen. Again, Israel and the church. He says, but God's just now loosening up the church everywhere, getting in order now so that he can get into the rapture. Got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. Now, this is before the word came open. This is 1953 that he said it. I believe that the word came open and in it was faith for a rapture. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Many will listen to the tapes and will never hear and will never have rapturing faith. So it's a different kind of hearing. You've got to hear it with your ear, but it's in the heart. Again, why Christ speak? He says Moses knowed this intellectually, and the seed that was born in him was laying in his heart. And he tried through his intellectual experience with the word to bring them out, to deliver them, to fulfill the prophecy concerning him, because he knowed that he was born for that purpose. He knowed that the time. The scriptures all said that they had already been there 400 years. Just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture, Now, this is July 14th of 1963, for those of you that are worried about when he said what. Actually, it's nobody here. It's somebody that's listening in, right? Just as we know now, as a man asked me a few moments ago about the coming and the rapture, we know we've lived the time out. At the time of the time of the rapture is at hand, and we're looking for a rapturing faith that can pull the church together and give it some supernatural strength that can change these bodies that we live in. When we see a God that can raise the dead off the floor or out in the yard and bring him back to life again and present him before us, when we see a God who can take a cancer that's eaten a man to a shadow and raise him up to a strong, healthy man, that ought to give rapturing faith to the people. When the light flashes from the sky and the trumpet sounds, the body of Christ will be quickly gathered together and changed in a moment and taken into the heavens. Yes, there's got to be something like that happen. And our schools of theology can never produce that. Yet they intellectually are all right. They accept it in their mind. But you've got to meet that light. And when you meet that light, you've got to invite that light to come in. You've got to find that something. Let's stand this morning. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe the hour is late for running from pillar to post. I believe that every one of us ought to be drinking all that we can. Right? Keep on drinking. Push out. Keep on drinking. The divine healing that we're witnessing that takes place amongst us, takes place in the body of Christ throughout the world, it's producing faith. It's light. When the word is manifested, that is light. And it's producing faith. If we don't have faith for a toothache, how are we going to have faith for the complete change of our body? Right? But we do have faith for a toothache. We got to practice it, though. We got to look for God in our daily life. Why are all these things happening to me? They're opportunities. Woe is me. Woe is you. God's given you, I got it worse than anybody. God's given you untold opportunities for Him to be glorified in your life and for your faith to come to perfect faith. But we've got to take these things, friends, and put them into action. We got to take God's word and agree with it. We got to be in expectation. We need to see the supernatural. Our young people need to see the supernatural. It's the word made flesh. It's God vindicating, manifesting in our day what he said he would do. Amen. We're a privileged people. We our hearts go out for you. We know that the battles are tough. We know that the battles are rough. We know by experience that sometimes you think you can't take anymore. But something down on the inside will surprise you and will cry out, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something in you, friends, you may have been to a junction in time where you're ready to quit. You may have actually made up your mind, I'm going to quit. I can't do this. Well, you're right on part of it. You can't do it. You may have gotten to the place where you thought, I can't take it anymore. This is too much for me. But he said he would not put anything on us but what is common to man, and that he would with every temptation, provide a way of escape. Listen to the rest of this. So we memorize that scripture as Baptists. And I feel like I'm a little bit of a latecomer in the message because I still had that Baptist thought in my mind. The Baptist idea. And the Baptist idea that I had in my mind for that scripture, he'll provide you a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Baptist thought that I had in my mind never heard that part, that you may be able to bear it. The Baptist thought in my mind thought, he's going to take that trial away from me. He's going to take that temptation away from me. That's not what it says. He says, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That you'll be able to come through the other side of it. And we will get to the place where we've come to the end of our rope. Where we just know we can't take anymore. But he promised. He'll provide a way of escape. And you'll find yourself on the other side of it and think, wow. Just wow. God is God. But God. But God. He's faithful. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, I pray that you take these chopped up thoughts, Lord, this morning and forgive us for the ineloquent way that we have of the foolish way that we have sometimes of preaching. To the natural mind, it's maybe not orderly or may seem like it's jumping from here to there. May not use the best grammar, best examples. Maybe it wasn't exactly an hour, as some would say that it needs to be an hour. Some will say something else. But Lord, we're confident of this one thing this morning. We're confident, Lord, that your word will do what you sent it out to do. And if we'll receive it, Lord, into a believing heart, it'll produce Christ in our lives. I pray, Lord, that take that word that has gone forth and quicken it. And may it become life. May we drink, Lord. May we push out. We are a needy people this morning, Lord. And contrary to what others might think that we're not saying as we get more and more mature that we need God and God less because we're just stronger or perfect or whatever. We actually come to the realization that we need you, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We actually come to the realization that we need you in every situation, in every day. As your messenger told us on different occasions that a Christian reads their Bible and prays every day, they have to. Lord, I don't want to go a day without talking things over. I don't want to go a day without looking for your marching orders for the day. I don't want to go a day without talking to you. I don't want to go a day without feasting on your word, which is our daily bread, to feed upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I want to be consistent daily, Lord. And it's my desire that each and every one that's hearing us this morning, Lord, would have that same drive in them, Lord, to drink and then drink some more. To drink until they're full and then drink some more. To press. Not that we're saying that it's our effort, but we know that we're partnered with you. And we know that for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, you need a body to work through. We want to be that body, Lord. We want to be members in particular. Whatever we might have the most, in other people's eyes, we might have the most humble part to play. But in your plan, it's absolutely essential. It's needful. It's necessary. Every one of us has a purpose. Every one of us has a part that you've foreordained to be lived out in our lives. Lord, give us the courage to trust you and to believe that our footsteps are ordered, to look for your leadership daily in our lives, to drink from the living waters, the fountain of living waters, and not only to drink for ourselves, Lord, but to keep those waters flowing so that others, when they cross our paths, will be ready to give an account of the hope of glory that's within us, that others can taste of that living waters. As we read in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. All that are thirsty, come. To him that heareth, let him say, come. Drink of the waters, of the living waters, the waters of life. Lord, you satisfy. We can say that from the bottom of our being this morning, Lord. When I tried to be a Christian for so many years without the word coming open to me, I tried this, I tried that. I tried to somehow manufacture peace or joy or the fruits of the Spirit. It would go something like this. Well, we're supposed to do this, or we're supposed to act this way or that way. And we would try to do that. I suppose nothing wrong with that. It's probably better than trying to live like the world. But that's not the living waters. The living waters is your life welling up within us and producing the only kind of life that it can produce. The very same life that was in you is now in a many-membered body. Lord, we would see Jesus. It is our desire to see that living water flow out, Lord, from each and every one of us. May we keep the living waters flowing. We talk about it in the church, but each and every one of us is a part of that tabernacle. And each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us has to keep that water flowing. There's no way that we can come together and be in one mind and one accord. There be no resentment, no doubt, no confusion, except we're drinking from that water, each and every one of us. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray that there be a peace and a rest that would come to each one as they recognize that all that they have need of is in you. And Lord, if you're in them, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Of course, we realize we need to hear the word as it comes forth. But what's on the inside will teach us what we've heard. What's on the inside will agree. What's on the inside will reveal it to us and quicken it, and it will become flesh. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that will want to say, Brother Doug, I know that the living water is within me, but I haven't maybe been drinking. Maybe I've been sipping. I haven't been drinking on a regular basis. And I've had hardships. I've had trials. I've gone through this or that. Maybe my eyes have gotten glazed over a time or two. But I thank God this morning for reminding me to drink and drink and then push out and drink and drink. I thank God for reminding me that rapturing faith is within us, that the rapturing grace is within us. I thank God for reminding me that all that I have need of this morning, He's placed in us, but I have to drink. And I want to do my part to make sure that I'm drinking every day. I want to do my part to make sure that I'm feeding on His Word every day, that I'm talking things over with Him, that it's a two-way conversation. And I believe that those living waters will bring whatever I have need of. If that's you, you want to lift your hand this morning? Father, you see hands lifted all over the building. That's our desire this morning, Lord. For you to have the preeminence in a body. For us to bring, for the church to actually bring Christ back to the earth again by giving the head the Son of Man a place to lay his head, to give the Son of Man a place, a body that's here on the earth, for you to have the preeminence in. You give the orders, we carry them out. We trust you this morning, Lord. Our confidence is in you. Our faith is in you. We're not looking outside of this message. We're not looking, we don't have itching ears. We're not looking here or there. We've found the pearl of great price, and we've sold everything that we had to buy the field. We believe, Lord, the hidden treasure. We've found it, or it's found us. And Lord, we want to fully walk in what you've called us to walk in this hour. I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage each and everyone, strengthen each and everyone. We recognize that it's an age, it's a time of contrast. We recognize that it's a time of almost complete and total darkness, because whatever light was in that darkness is being squeezed out. But on the other hand, there's no shadow in the light. So the word is bringing a total separation from unbelief. And Lord, we don't want to gaze upon the darkness. We want to recognize it. We want to be wise concerning it. But we want to put our eyes upon Jesus. We want to walk in the light as you are in the light. Then we can have that confidence that our sins are washed away, and we have fellowship one with another and with you. I pray that you bless each and everyone, every hand that was raised in the building, Lord. Be it unto them according to thy will. Be it unto them according to thy word. You said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. So we're even blessed to have that desire. Thank you for giving us the right kind of desires this morning, Lord. The desires that line up with your word. We love you this morning, Lord. We thank you. Bless each and every one, we pray. We give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. What are you playing? Amen. This is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes. Behold the righteous grain. By signs and wonders. Precious name. Drink, oh drink, my people, for this is latter rain. Oh, this is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes, behold the brightening rain. Mighty signs and wonders in his precious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you.